Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 44. My name is John. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning. To paraphrase Trace Beaulieu, what you are about to hear is an experiment. Normally, what I do for these podcasts is I come up with a topic or some kind of news story, and I sit down and I write. I organize my thoughts, and I try to bring it into something sensible, and then I sit down and I record. This time, I decided to do something different. I am currently quasi-live from Nag's Head, North Carolina, on the Outer Banks. I'm on the third story of the Blue Heron Motel, and I'm overlooking the sand dunes and the Atlantic Ocean. It is the morning of October 16th, which also happens to be my 14-year anniversary with Gina. Gina is inside still sleeping because I tried to get her to come out to watch the sunrise. She came out for a few minutes and decided she'd had enough, wanted to just go back to sleep. Oh well. Looking over the ocean, again, it's just a beautiful morning with the exception of the overcast skies. Unfortunately, the sunrise wasn't as spectacular as I'd hoped it would be, but it's still just a lovely morning. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of ambient noise in this recording because I'm doing this off of my iPhone right now. So I don't know how it's going to sound. I just hope that it's okay enough to where you can hear my voice and the rolling waves and the ocean breeze doesn't mess things up too poorly. So, what I'm trying to do this morning is just speak off the cuff. Rather than do something, you know, organized and coherent, I'm going to do my best to just, you know, think and speak at the same time, and hopefully it'll work out. Again, I'm in Nag's Head, North Carolina, on vacation, celebrating our anniversary, and I'm going to have a couple of problems. I know that I would like to go to Kitty Hawk, which is just up the road from here, and I would like to see the Wright Brothers Monument. It was never high up on my priority list, but I figured, hell, since we're here, might as well give it a try, right? Tomorrow, or actually, I'm sorry, later today, rather, we're going to be heading down to Cape Hatteras, to the historic lighthouse down there. This is more of Gina's idea, because she likes lighthouses, and she likes Nicholas Sparks' books, and Nicholas Sparks apparently does a lot of his books, you know, based on this island. The problem that we're going to be encountering is both of these places are national parks. We are in the midst of a government shutdown, which means that these places are closed. Like many of the national parks around here, or around the nation, rather, you can't get in. I'm going to attempt, I don't know if I'm going to be successful or not, but I'm going to try at least to get into the Cape Hatteras. But here's why. I mentioned this is early in the morning. Gina's asleep outside, inside, because I wanted to get up and watch the sunrise. I've got a thing for taking photographs of sunrises, and I think it would be awesome if tomorrow morning I were to get up and hopefully it won't be as overcast as it is today, but get a beautiful sunrise picture with the lighthouse in the foreground, maybe even in a silhouette. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm wondering what would happen if I got onto the park property, if I'm going to have any problems. I don't know if I will or not. I guess I'll let you know as a follow-up to this podcast. But the very idea that I would even have to worry about something like that is just beyond my comprehension. This is the United States of America, right? This is supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. You and me, United States citizens, we are supposed to be the government. How in the hell can the government then prevent us from going on to public land? I mean, think about the insanity of that sentence. It is public land. By definition, it is land which is shared by everybody. Everybody should be allowed on it. But the elitists in Washington are saying, no, 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 we're not going to allow you to do that. Who the fuck are these people to try to tell us that? This is insane. When there are barricades around a World War II monument, an open air World War II monument. Here's the thing. Again, in North Carolina, celebrating our anniversary, this is something we do every year. We take the week of our vacation off, and we pick a place that we haven't been to before. Or in some cases, we try to tailor it around visiting somebody, you know, close to us, friends or family. This year, we came down here primarily to go to Charlotte to visit a cousin that Gina hasn't seen in almost 40 years. And that was really nice. Last year, we went up to Baltimore and the Amish country up in Pennsylvania. But as a side trip one day, we went down to Virginia to visit a friend of ours who had moved away. Hadn't seen her in almost a year, and it was really nice. A whole other tragic story behind that, but that's for another podcast. She's doing well, it's the rest of her family who isn't. We went to visit the friend, and on the way back towards Baltimore, we said, hey, we're right here. Washington, D.C. is just, you know, 20 minutes away. What the hell? Let's go. So we drove into Washington, D.C., you know, parked over near the Lincoln Memorial, and we walked the mall from the Lincoln Memorial, you know, through the Vietnam War Memorial, through the World War II Monument, and then up to the Washington Monument. All of this is open air. You know, it's, yeah, sure, there's steps, and I guess maybe, you know, in some crazy nanny state, there's some kind of concern about somebody, you know, falling on the stairs or some stupid crap like that. But especially the World War II Memorial, which I gotta say is pretty impressive. It's very nice. Kind of an interesting way that they, you know, try to commemorate, you know, every piece of that. You know, the war in Europe, the war, you know, in against Japan. It really is nice. And to imagine a group of politicians putting out orders to barricade an open Air Memorial is the height of stupidity and the height of elitism. Now, everybody's seen the pictures of the World War II veterans, you know, going through the barriers, you know, first being told they can't go, and then, you know, saying, fuck you, we're going anyway, which, you know, obviously, you know, bravo to them. That's something that they deserve, you know, not just because they're the ones that it's dedicated to, but just the fact that they're citizens and should be allowed to go. Now, I am by no means anywhere near as noble as a soldier who, you know, fought for people's freedoms in World War II or any other war for that matter. But I'm still a citizen. You know, my tax dollars get forced from my paycheck in order to go to the federal government. The federal government is the one that's in charge of running this land over, you know, in Cape Hatteras. And what am I going to do here? I mean, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on that land somehow, one way or the other. If I have to, you know, cross a barrier, if I have to, you know, convince a guard, I'm going. Because I really want to get this photograph. But what possesses somebody to think that they can force another human being off of what is a public land? Now, I can understand if it was private property and the owner of that property said, you know something, I just don't want anybody on this land right now. Whatever reason it is, it doesn't matter. It's their private property. They should be allowed to do it. However, this is not a private property situation. This is a public property. And as distasteful as the notion of public property, you know, sounds, especially to somebody who values individualism, still the principle behind it stands. Public land, I'm part of the public, I'm supposed to be allowed on there. Me and every other person that comes along. Why? Why would somebody do this? Other than to be petty. And let's be honest, you know what's not getting shut down in this so-called government shutdown? I mean, it's what, like 15-17% of the government is actually shut down? That means 83% capacity. I mean, we're talking about a government that at 50% capacity is already bankrupting us. So they're well past, you know, screwing us over one way or the other. But we have a government that's only running at that's running at 83% capacity. It's only been cut by 17%. And what are they cutting? They're cutting access to public land. You know, there's news stories, and you'll hear them out there. You know, there's public land that's being cut that actually makes a profit. One of the few places in government that actually makes a profit, and people aren't being allowed on there. So you pay your money to get onto this land, and the government is taking that revenue away from itself. This is insane. I went to Arches National Park back in June up in Utah. And again, National Park. It was, people were being prevented from going in. And I understand, yeah, you've got to pay to get on to Arches, and I, you know, because it really is vast, and I'm sure there's, you know, a lot of upkeep that they have to do. But to say no, we're not going to allow anybody to come into our park. And I am saying this correctly because I think this is the elitist thinking that it is theirs and not the public's. But we're not going to allow you to come into our park. We're not going to allow you to give us your money to come into this park. we're not going to allow you to give us revenue in something that would actually, you know, make money. Just to be petty, just to be a small, tiny little speck of a human being, and not allow a little bit of happiness into somebody's life. Now, I like to travel. I really do. I mean, like I said, we pick out 1 week of the year and we go someplace we've never been to before. And hopefully, you know, if things go well, you know, we might take another, you know, like a smaller vacation in June. We just got really lucky this year. We got to go to Utah and to North Carolina. So, somebody who wants to see the beauty of this land, somebody who wants to see the beauty of the oceanside with a lighthouse, somebody who wants to see the beautiful natural rock formations in Utah, somebody who wants to see a monument dedicated to the last time the United States constitutionally declared war. All of these things they're trying to keep from us. Now you can be damn sure that anything involving their constituents is being funded. Because if they take away those parts of the government that their constituents rely on, then you know there's going to be hell to pay. They wouldn't stand for that. I mean, think of all the subsidies that are going to big corporations, to Monsanto, to Boeing, to General Electric. You don't think those have been cut back due to the government shutdown, do you? Of course not. They've got to make sure that their constituents are getting what they want. Obamacare, that's not being cut back, is it? Of course not. Why would they cut that back? Because all of those people who foolishly believe that more government regulation in healthcare is actually going to assist things rather than make it a horrible detriment, they're still wanting to vote. And if that gets taken away from them, then, oh, they might not vote. We can't have that. We've got to pay for those votes somehow. We've got to keep those people and their minds enslaved into the way we do things. So no, those things aren't going to get cut. Government, at least the government that we have now, and the government that we've had for a few generations, at least 100 years, has caught on to the fact that they can buy votes. And the American people, for the most part, have sold out. They said, yep, you can buy our votes. You give us what we want. You take away from people we don't like, for whatever reason. Maybe it's because they're too rich. You know, maybe it's because they live in a way that you don't agree with. But you know something? If you take away from them, you take away from people that we hate, people that we have bias against, people we have prejudice against, then yeah, okay, go ahead and do that and give me some of what they have and everything will be all right. I'll keep voting for you. I'll keep you in power. That's what we've done. And so long as we continue in that cycle, we're just going to keep falling farther and farther. You know, I don't know where the bottom of this pit is going to be. It's not a bottomless pit, definitely not. We're not going to keep falling forever. We're going to hit the bottom sometime. But I'm just thinking that it's going to be a lot closer, a lot sooner than anyone wants to believe. it's like we just don't even care anymore. We've gotten to a point where, yeah, that's what it is. This is where we've come to. There's no possible way that we could turn around and do things differently. That's the attitude that has come to. It's like, oh, well, you know, it's something that's just the way it is. You know, that the government runs things, you know. We just gotta live with it. No, we don't. We don't gotta just live with it. It's foolish to think that. You can keep deluding yourself into thinking that this course that we're on will somehow balance out, that we'll get back on an even keel and we'll be okay. It's not going to happen. This is the road to atrophy. This is the road to ruin. The only way we're going to get out of it is if we do things differently. Not vote for the other side of the same coin, which is, you know, one party or the other. You know, on one side of the coin you got an elephant, the other side of the coin you got a jackass. Either way, you're screwed, because neither of them really care about riding the ship. All they care about is keeping themselves in power. They might, you know, have a little bit different philosophy on how they're going to control you, but control you they will. You don't really have a choice in the matter when they're in power. And so long as they are the ones in power, if we don't give them what they want, which is more of our money to put us farther and farther in debt, which, I mean, think of that, in and of itself is even more insane, right? I mean, as much money as we are giving them, they want more, and even though we are going to give them more, we are still going to fall deeper into debt as a nation. I mean, that alone should outrage so many people throughout the nation that the two-party system becomes a complete and utter failure. I mean, if anybody actually stopped and thought and had the guts to say no to these two moron parties, then maybe we would have a chance. But so long as the vast majority of people do that, we're hosed. And we're going to continue to be hosed. We're going to continue to have these stupid government shutdown situations. You know, I know, I've said it so many times, I'm going to say it again. Let me just get it out of the way. Ooh, Article 1, Section 8. That tells you what the federal government is supposed to be doing. Everything else is unconstitutional. And it needs to be done away with. Now, if the states want to try to pick it up and fuck it up in their own little way, then we'll have 50 little fuck-ups and, you know, doing things their way. But really, all of these things that we have, that the government does, we should be doing for ourselves. We really should. And I know, it's scary. It really is. Because when you're the one in control, that means you're also the one that has to take the responsibility if things go batshit crazy. But you still have control. You have control of your own life. Right now, you don't. I don't get to go to Cape Hatteras and just walk on there without possibly facing some consequences. It's not under my control. It's under somebody else's control. And I know it's something as silly and simple as, you know, walking, you know, to a lighthouse. But it's a microcosm of what really is wrong with this country right now. that is the government controlling way too much. And when the government has that much control, that means that they own you. Sorry, but until we take this nation back to a small, limited government, until people learn not only that they should control their own lives, but also take responsibility for what they've done, then we're just going to keep on kind of sort of puttering along at a, you know, maybe things pick up for a little while, but then we start, you know, falling apart again. We've got to take the road less traveled. Every other nation's done this. And, you know, maybe, just maybe there's, you know, some places where, you know, some of these things work. And I'll bet you if it does, it's a small nation, you know, where you have enough people that can actually agree to these things. I've said it before. I don't mind socialism per se. The problem that I have with socialism, communism, you know, collectivism in general, is the collectivists don't stop with the people who agree with them. You know, the collectivists will get together and say, oh, hey, you know something, we want to share everything, and we think that's a good idea. So the collectivists get together, and it's okay, because everybody's volunteering, and it's all something that they agree on, but they don't stop there. They decide, you know something, this is good for us, let's force that guy over there to do it too. Well, that guy over there doesn't want to do it. They don't care about that. It doesn't matter to them. They say, oh, we know so much. We know this works for us, and we know for sure that it's going to work so well for you that we're going to force you to do it. And that's where we are now. We're with a bunch of people who are too lazy to do things for themselves. So they think, well, let's just pool all our resources together, and we'll have our nice little collective system. And they've done that. And then say, you know something, it works so well for us, we're just going to make everybody else do it. And so the people who, you know, could kind of do things on their own and be much more productive, it's like putting a trailer hitch on a Ferrari. It just doesn't work. Mess. It really is. And the solution is scary. Because the solution means that, you know, we've got to handle things on our own. You know, where's the welfare going to be? Well, the welfare is going to come from our own hearts and from our own efforts. Where is the healthcare going to come from? Well, you know something, it's going to come from doctors who are no longer hindered by foolish government regulation. You know, let's let the people who know medicine be the ones to run medicine. Not the idiots in government who think they know what, you know, medicine is all about. And the same basically goes for everything else. Again, I've said it before, I know, I've gone over it so many times, but regulation is like a gated community. It's a false sense of security, because anybody with enough patience can slip into that gated community anytime they want. And that's the way regulation is. I mean, it gives us this false sense of security that think, oh, the government's involved, so that means everything's going to be okay. No. You think about it, every time something goes wrong with, you know, every time there's a food recall, that means that somebody screwed up at the FDA. You know, the FDA regulations were not followed. You know, every time there is a drug recall, that means that the FDA screwed up, because a drug that they approved, turns out now they didn't get everything right. It's a false sense of security, and one we don't need anymore. We can do this. We really can. We can get back to that small, limited constitutional government, and we can make things right on our own. To hell with this government shutdown. We don't need it. Shut it all down. We're the American people. We'll take care of it. From Nag's Head, North Carolina, this is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.